Hi, this is Allison Post, and today we'll be mapping breath on the 15-minute matrix.
Welcome to the 15-minute matrix. I'm Andrea Nakayama, functional medicine nutritionist and your host. This is the podcast that brings you bite-sized insights and lessons on how to use the most important tool in functional medicine and functional nutrition. Today on the 15-Minute Matrix, I'll be talking with Allison Post. Allison is an integrative medicine health coach and somatic educator. She's taught courses in many modalities of massage, breath, and bodywork, and has helped thousands of adults and children with chronic illness, digestive discomfort, and physical challenges. She guides people through the transitions of pregnancy, birth, chronic stress, menopause, aging, grief and loss, and trauma arising from injury, surgery, and personal crisis. Allison's curiosity had led her to explore many disciplines, including Asian and Western bodywork, Qi Nai Tseng internal organ massage, visceral manipulation, acupuncture and traditional Chinese medicine, Ayurveda, hypnotherapy, dance, somatic psychology, and cranial therapy. Her latest book, co-authored with her husband, is The Gut Wellness Guide, The Power of Breath, Touch, and Awareness to Reduce Stress, Aid Digestion, and Reclaim Whole Body Health. And while I have more to tell you about this brilliant healer, I'm going to dive into our interview and share a bit of my own personal story with her after the episode. Welcome, Allison. I'm eager to talk about breath and what it does in our systems, but I know your focus is on stress and really listening into the body. So when we think about breath in this way, I think of it as a mediator. Can you talk a little bit more about breath and breath work as a mediator for what's going on in the body?
The breath really is our somatic intelligence. It's who we are from moment to moment. So we respond to our environment both internally with what we've eaten, what's happening, what somebody said, any triggers that have happened, or being in nature and forest bathing. I mean, no matter what we're doing, our breath is leading the way because that's how we oxygenate, that's how we digest, but that's how we sense in to who we are. And when I work with people, I like to bring them into their breath, not as a separate being, but as their own being, as truly who they are, and have them take as little effort as possible to be able to be with the breath so that they can listen to their breath for cues. What's happening in my body right now? Where is my breath? How is my body being held in that breath? Can I breathe, first of all? Am I stuck and kind of holding my breath and just taking enough oxygen in to be alive? Luckily, we do that. It's automatic. But where is the breath? And am I actually ready to fight or flee? Or am I resting and digesting? How is my breath working for me right now? Where are the tension patterns that are developing as a result of that holding of the breath, or just starting to relax with the breath and following the breath, letting it lead the way, letting the belly lead the way a little bit more than thinking about the breath or forcing and pushing the breath, making it an exercise? It's part of who you are, and it's part of how your body communicates with you.
I love this, and it's especially important that you lay hands on people. So I'm wondering what you see, feel, touch when somebody's breath is shallow, or are there other patterns that you see? And then what do those breath patterns become a trigger for in the body systems?
Well, first of all, I actually work a lot of hands-on, but I also work online and in classrooms. I can actually see somebody from across the room who's holding their breath. And how do you know that? You can see it in the way their facial structure is, the tension in their face, their whole vagus system, really. Can they relax their jaw? Are their eyes relaxed? Do they have oxygenation? Do they have rosy cheeks? Can you actually see their arms and their legs moving with their body? Because often you just cut off. If you're holding your breath, your arms are stiff. You can't connect. And a lot of times, as we know, when we're in a little bit of hypervigilance or fight or flight, our heart is racing a little bit and we're at the ready. You can even see it in the psoas muscles, in the bellies and the lower back structure. And suddenly the body is ready to do something, yet it's lying on my table or it's wanting to be in meditation and it can't relax. And what happens? Our cortisol is raised. We're not ready to digest. This is a lot of what I see people coming to me, particularly for visceral problems, where they're bloated, their body can't rest and let things go. So they start to get a lot of dysfunction in the digestion in particular, because our breath is in our rib cage with our organs. It's oxygenating the organs.
Right.
Right. It's allowing the body to actually function as a whole system. We're an integrated system. So it's heartbeat, it's breath, it's nervous system, it's fascia, it's muscle, and it's those beautiful organs, whether it's your bladder or your spleen or your liver. If your breath is being held, the fascia that surrounds these organs that are trying to communicate with the rest of the body to nourish you and to get you vital and moving gets stymied. And so nothing's really happening and you get blocked.
It's like bathing the organs, the cells. Is it like the breath acts as a bath in some ways?
Definitely. In Chinese medicine, the breath leads the blood and the qi, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is how you are alive from the first breath you take until the last. Your breath is leading everything to be able to take in the oxygen that lets your lungs do the work for you, but that also bathes all of the organs and all of the structures and allows it to become hydrated as a result with the fluids and with the blood so that you can do the job of being alive.
And it comes to this GI function. I mean, you mentioned the connection between breathwork and the vagus nerve, and I know you have a passion for really healing the gut and the belly. Can you talk a little bit more about breath and gut dysfunction? Because we all see so much of that in our practices, and I'm not sure enough practitioners are focusing on the breath.
Yes, I agree with you. As an example, I work with a lot of children who have had problems at birth or in utero. And as a result, they never came out having normal bowel movements. I had one five-year-old who, in utero, her mom had problems with diabetes because of pregnancy, and she was on a certain drug. This is all conjecture on my part, of course, but I've seen this in my clinic over and over again with birth problems and with in utero problems where the baby is getting the shock or
right.
the drug or the holding of the breath. And so when they come out, immediately there's not a natural development of their bowels. They're either constipated. Well, this little girl, 5 years old, had never, like, hardly could go to the bathroom at all. They took every x-ray, you name it. She was given every test. People come to me often when it's the end of the line. She got on my table, and I could see that her diaphragm, which holds your large intestine, right? We have to understand the structure and the function of what the anatomy is. So there are flexures at our diaphragm, these little tendons that are holding up our large intestine. Well, if you're holding your breath, you're pulling that large intestine up, and it can't really create peristalsis, the wave that allows the bowel movements to flow. And here she was. I mean, it was stuck up inside of her chest almost. And she got it. Children are amazing.
Amazing.
So much faster healing because they're curious. They're like, what's going on here? And she immediately started to be able to shake it out. Her arms and her legs were kind of moving with it. I could teach her how to breathe, not with forcing. She just got excited and like, wow, about it. And the next time she came to see me, she was pooping.
Amazing. And we see this like go all the way on, unfortunately, into adulthood. I was just doing a client review meeting with some of my top level students and looking at a college student who hasn't pooped or had good elimination since she was a little girl. And she's now 21 and she's still suffering from this. And we have to be looking at all the things we can do. Yes, we have to look at the GI and the infections, but breath work, so important. What about the lymphatic system when we move over into the immune and inflammatory balance? Is there a connection there between the breathing and this immune and detoxification process?
Definitely. First of all these lymph nodes in the belly, people always think of lymph as in their neck, under their arms, and in their inguinal area, but there are major lymph stations in your belly, and the only way lymph moves is actually by movement. So we really want to remember that. Breath makes movement, but also touch, exercise. We need exercise and movement in order to get the lymph really moving. It's not going to work for you if you're stationary, which is a problem in our world. People are sitting at computers and in front of screens all day. You have to move.
Yes.
And breathe. And the breath, again, is moving the fluid, hydrating the system so that your lymph system can move.
You talked a bit about stress, and we know the impact that stress can have on all the body systems, particularly the hormones. What about the mind, spirit, emotions component, and let's say happiness and breathing? What do you see as connections there?
You're an integrated being, and if you're holding your breath in your chest, which is what we see mostly is happening in our world, you know, we got caught somewhere, whether
right.
It was an emergency or a trauma or something we ate that felt really bad and we had episodes of vomiting. Again, as children or adults, we're up in our chest. And when you're up there and you can't let go, you're cutting off the integration of your mind, your heart, and your belly. And that is actually how happiness is created. We have all these neurotransmitters in our belly. It goes more from the belly to the brain than from the brain to the belly. And if we're cutting off the breath and we're holding it up and it's not moving, then we can't really function from our belly to be coordinating the happiness or the sadness. We need these emotions to be a processing, happy, stable human being. So without the breath getting us integrated in our belly, in our heart, and in our head, we really don't have an emotional stability. We can't really self-regulate. But your breath is a way that you can learn through co-regulation to self-regulate. This is why practitioners need so much to understand how to lead people through understanding and being in the somatic intelligence of their body, being able to breathe, because that's how we learn how to self-regulate. That's how we start to talk to the parasympathetic system, to the whole vagus system, to the social nervous system, which is prosody, what we hear, what we see, and how we connect. And the breath is, I think, the starting point.
I love thinking about this as somatic intelligence, and I know you term this unwinding. Can you give practitioners some how-tos that we could all bring to our clients and patients in terms of what to do around the breath? What else can we be looking at and bringing into the clinical environment right away?
The first thing I think that the practitioner has to learn is how to breathe for themselves.
Right.
That's where the co-regulation starts, and the ease of, oh, I can learn this because you're doing it. That's how mama teaches us things. We mimic mama, right?
Mm-hmm.
practitioners, we're a good, fierce mom. You know, we're firm, but we're also kind and compassionate. And if we are in our breath and we're not thinking about what we're doing after this client or what we forgot to do before or ourselves, we haven't been able to truly relax in our own breath, they can't learn. So the number one thing is, can you do this for yourself first? Breathing with your client. Why not start a session, any session like that? How are you feeling? And let's take a few breaths together. Let's feel our feet on the ground and let's notice where our breath is in our body. And I would say unfolding the breath little by little, because most people are so locked up. They have no lateral breath. They have no back breath. The mechanism really isn't working. They can't breathe into their belly. It's really challenging to them, so they try to force it. We want to encourage people to use the least amount of effort and even take their hand and put their hand on you, if you're comfortable with that, and let them feel what you're talking about so they have sensation and you lead them through sensation into their bodies.
Allison, I cannot wait to share your wisdom with all the practitioners that will be listening to this and to bring the awareness and the intelligence of the breath work into our work. Thank you again for being here with me. It's just a joy to hear your voice.
It was such a joy to be with you, Andrea.
I hope you are taking a deep breath and that you enjoyed that episode as much as I did. I have to share that Allison Post and her husband and co-author Stephen Cavieri are very special to me. They worked with my husband, Isamu, after his brain tumor diagnosis, laying their healing hands on him every single week. It was one of the biggest gifts and blessings that we had during that time to be able to work with such deep spirits who were doing this integrative work, understanding all aspects of the full body systems before it was even in vogue. I haven't stayed in touch with Allison all these years, but I'm fortunate to be back in touch now and to share her work with you. The 15-Minute Matrix is brought to you by me, Andrea Nakayama, and the Functional Nutrition Alliance. The 15-Minute Matrix team includes my son, Gilbert Nakayama, on sound production, along with Carla Schaefer, Renee Hunt, Natalie Merrill, and Christine Shook. You can visit us and hear more episodes at 15minutematrix.com. And if you'd like to be notified each time there's a new podcast episode ready, please go to 15minutematrix.com/notify. And we'll be sure to drop into your inbox with a short reminder that a new episode is ready for you. Plus, we'd love to hear from you. Please email us. Let us know who you'd like to hear on the podcast and what you'd like to see mapped on the 15-Minute Matrix. You can always email us at ask@15minutematrix.com.